Blog Talk Radio.
Home Jerusalem, we're coming right back to you, and we're coming right to you live, listeners, because we want to stay alive in Torah Chaim, instructions of life, Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torah Rachamim, instructions of mercy. You're tuned to the Higher Inner Soul Class 431, heart to heart from Jerusalem to the
everybody
rest of the program number 18. With that being said, we're live from Turtle Island at 9:31 this morning, which means we're corresponding to 4:31. Holy Land time in Jerusalem. We have on the line, in one set, we'll bring him an international human rights activist, Rabbi Dr. Eliezer Goldstock. And we will ask RDEG, which stands for Rabbi Dr. Eliezer Goldstock, not just rapid deployment elevates greatness. While we typical people strive to maintain healthy bodies in order to our human souls can assist us carry out our mission on earth. Let me say that over, blessed souls, because I haven't had my second cup of coffee because I had a piece of cake which is leaving my mouth parched and starched. I feel larched. Again, let's start all over. Take it at the top. 1, 2, 3. We will ask RDEG, while we typical people strive to maintain healthy bodies in order our human souls can assist us carry out our mission on earth, why are we not paying enough attention towards assisting differently abled people live healthier lives so their own unique human souls will carry them, or should I should say, will assist them carry out the unique mission here upon this blessed earth? Meanwhile, please check out the following website now or after our program today, our blessed efforts, our humble efforts, formulated by RDEG and his wife of valor, C.T. Hanatova. How they are working on an important project to help differently abled people and their families in the holy city of Jerusalem by going to www.hearttoheartamerican.org/Jerusalem.html. And as well, we'll have a co-host will be joining us in a moment, another co-host, Shoshana Imhoff-Marst, who will be talking about her recent experiences at a conference, I think, in Bridgeport, Connecticut. So right now, before I bring on Rabbi Gottschalk, I'm going to make a Baruch Ato Adonai Olam Melech Olam Shakol Mehuyo Dvoro. Rabbi Gottschalk, are you there?
Baruch Ato Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shakol Mehuyo Dvoro.
Amen. Eliezer, which reminds me, first of all, thank you for coming on the program. You know, water is the most precious element in the universe, because without it, how could we make a cup of coffee?
That's right. You know why methamphetamine never caught on in Florida? Because the Cubans, drink very strong espresso there. It seems that we're beginning the program. By the way, thank you. Rapid deployment energizes greatness, huh? Interesting. That was a good one, huh? Listen, it seems like There's a kid I was talking to. His father's a rabbi. His name is Yosef. Yosef went to his, he had just passed his driving test,
Yeah.
So he asked his father, who happens to be a rabbi, as I said, he said if they could discuss the use of the car.
Right.
So his father took him into the study, and they sat down. He says, listen, Yosef, I'll tell you. I'll make you a deal. He says, you bring your school grades up a little bit, and you study a little more Torah, and cut your hair, because he was wearing it pretty long at that time. He says, and we'll talk about it. So after a month goes by, Yosef comes back. He sits down, again asks his father if they could discuss the use of the car. Again, the father says to him, listen, I see that you go into the study. He sits him down. He says, look, I've been around. And I've been real proud of you. He says, I see that you raise your grades and that your you're studying Torah much more diligently than you ever did before. But you didn't get your hair cut. So Yosef waits a minute, you know, and he says, listen, Pa, you know, Dad, he says, I've been thinking about this. He says, you know, Shimshon had long hair. Avram Avinu had long hair. Noach had long hair. Even right. Moshe Rabbeinu had long hair. So his father says to him, he says, you know, you're right. And remember, they all walked wherever they went. So, listen, you know, Yossi was with his friend David the other day. So he says, starts to tell him a joke. He says, Yitzhak and Haimi are talking to each other one day. So right away, Yossi interrupts and he says, listen, you know, he says, it's always Jewish jokes. He says, give it a rest. He says, why do you always make jokes? It always has to be about the Jews. Just change the names. Give it another ethnic group, you know, just for once. Will you? He asks him, he says to his friend David. So David starts again. He says, Hashimoto and Suzuki are talking one day at their nephew's bar mitzvah. Anyhow, okay, go ahead.
Anyway,
so
I just want to give one more Rosh Hashanah interpretation. Ravenous Don eats grapefruit.
Eats what?
Grapefruit.
Like Eshkoliot?
Eshkoliot. I just want to point out Eliezer and Shoshana, I see you're on the line. We're going to call you in about 8 minutes if you can share your experiences with us. Eliezer, let's go. Let's get to the two points I want to bring out as well.
Can we just do a couple real quick shout outs? Because I really have to do this. First of all, I have to say this. Ross, Professor Barnard, I admired an etching drawing that he did online that has, I call it the etching of relativity. And I'll show a picture of it to everybody later. It is an absolutely, really a very stunning and brilliant piece. And he probably did, I don't know, you know, what was in his mind, but I opened my mail yesterday and guess what he sent me? He sent me the etching. It's an unbelievable picture. Anyhow, I want to thank him very much for doing that. That was a big yeshkoich to Ross, Professor Barnard. And then Siggy Berger, who will be here next week, who's making a chatzana.
Beautiful.
Mazel tov to them. Philip Shulman on the occasion of moving from, I don't know where she was living before this, but I know her from California already. She's now moved to Silver Springs, Maryland. Mazel tov, b'shah tova. B.B. Tracy for sending me and sharing the pictures that we took while she was here in Yerushalayim visiting. Joan Blumenthal, who is a friend of mine, believe it or not, back in the days when I was in high school. So I just want to wish her a refuah shleima. She's having a tough time right now and living in Chicago. Isabella, my friend Isabella Fink, lives in Paris. I know her. I met her 2 years ago, Rosh Hashanah, with her son Ellie in Washington Heights when I spoke there on Rosh Hashanah. And Linda Sinclair, who is coming on a trip to Eretz Yisrael in a matter of weeks now, no longer months. So wow. I want to say a big shout out to them. And there's a lot of people coming. If you're coming to Israel, let us know. We'll make an announcement. I will definitely make it a point to try to meet with everybody, and hopefully we can have meeting and show you around and let you see what we're doing here. Also tomorrow, I just want to mention real quickly, and I know that you want to get to the point that we had discussed earlier, but yet tomorrow is the yahrzeit of Rabbi Shneur Zalman of Liadin.
Right.
And I should also mention that today we found out the sad news that we're mourning the passing of our Rabbi Mordechai Shmuel Ashkenazi, who passed away on the way to his father's kever, was on the road to Tzfat. So we see that happens 1, 2, 3 in the Abroch Dynamis. We should only hear good news, and his Mashiach should come already. Anyhow, the founder of Chabad Hasidim, Rabbi Shneur Zalman of Liadi, the Alter Rebbe, passed away on the 24th of Tevis, around 10:30 at night, after he said Abdullah. It was a Shabbos, a Motzei Shabbos. He lived in the village of Peyena, fleeing from Napoleon's armies, which had swept through his hometown of Liadi. And he's interred in the town of Hadich, which is where my Bubby and Zadie are come from. So, and that's where they were born. And then, of course, there's the story of this Shabbos marks the devastating earthquake that struck northern Israel, killing 4,000 Jews in Tzfat, and between 700 and 1,000 more were killed in Tiberias, and many other survivors migrated to Hebron. And they rejuvenated the Chabad community, which was established there 10 years earlier by the Rebbe who took over for the Alter Rebbe, Reb Dov Ber of Lubavitch. And that's the end of my story. And I just might mention that one of the first hospitals in America under the direction of under the Jewish direction was built to Mount Sinai in New York. It was founded on this date in 1852.
Right, and I think that earthquake you're referring to, Eliezer, was in the 19th century as well. In a couple minutes, we'll be bringing you on, Shoshana, to talk about your experiences and to share with us your wisdom. Eliezer, we'll talk hopefully after the 10 o'clock hour, what I talked about we have to pay more attention to the health needs of uniquely abled human beings. But I want to just throw up with a little Torah from Lubavitch Rebbe, which I saw yesterday in the famous Frankel Shul here in Kesser Crown Heights. How to talk to Paro, or Pharaoh. Based on a verse in the book of Exodus, chapter 7, verse 1, where it says, God said to Moses, observe, I have made you a master over Pharaoh, or Paro. So Lubavitcher Rebbe, in his Likutei Sichos, volume 16, pages 74 to 76, has the following elucidation, which I want to use as a preface to bringing on Shoshana onto the program. The purpose of Moses' respectful yet forceful speeches to Paro was to break the forces of evil when their powers were strongest. Similarly, there are times in our lives when our inner pharaohs, our animal drives, seem to have the upper hand. At such times, the best way to overcome these drives is to channel our inner Moses, which each one of us possesses as members of the nation of Israel, and rage against them, insult them, and humiliate them. That's within ourselves, blessed souls. The same is true regarding our mission to oppose negativity in the world at large. Of course, we must always convey Hashem's message, God's message, in a pleasant and peaceful way, just as God commanded Moses to address Pharaoh respectfully. Because if you look in written scripture, blessed souls, not once does Moses call him names that we mention only in a bar after 5 shots of gin. But at the same time, we must approach our pharaohs fearlessly and forcefully. If we remain true to God's message, we break the power of darkness, and to help bring God's redemption light to the redemptive light, I should say, the light of Torah and commandments to the world. And now to embellish my point, we're going to bring on Shoshana, and then of course Rabbi Gold follow up in the 10 o'clock hour with the matters we've previously discussed. Let's bring in Shoshana. Shoshana.
I'm here. Good morning. How are you both?
Good morning. Thank you. And
hey, we're doing great.
I want to thank you, Shoshana, publicly for the mistake I made the other day. An insidious organization called Keys for Peace on Facebook was trying to rear their ugly head on my Facebook wall page. And at first I thought they were, an appeasement type of Yiddishkeit, which I know the Lubavitch Rebbe, Schulze Yogan Lenin, was against. And Shoshana, who is a member of a wonderful organization called Jews for Judaism, alerted me that they are actually a covert missionary organization trying to insidiously bring Jews, chas v'sholom, into the fold of the Edomite Christian perspective of the Torah, which is something we will never get into, give into as member of the people of Israel, those of us who are conscious enough to know, or blessed to be conscious enough about it. So I publicly thank you, Shoshana, and I'm leaving it on my, just to clarify, blessed those, I'm leaving it on my Facebook wall as a tutorial, because I responded with speeches by Rabbi Michael Skobach and a debate between Rav Emanuel Shochet against Dr. Michael Brown. Hashem should have mercy on this Jew, a very sick soul, and various other responses to show that we of Israel should not give in to foreign ideology. With that being said, Shoshana, please, you have the floor for about the next 15 minutes, and please share with us your wisdom and insights, what you think is most appropriate as a follow-up to what we've been talking about.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Rabbi.
No, I just wanted to ask you if you could, as a preface, explain a little bit about, real quickly, I don't want to take too much time, but just a little brief synopsis of where you went a couple of Shabbos ago, and what exactly took place, and you know, how this all came about.
Right. That was in Stanford, and that was, what I guess it was, we left on the 26th. From the Catskills to go into Connecticut. So it was from the 26th to the 28th. And it was, I also have been a part of this organization called Partners in Torah for about 5 years now, I think. You know, it gets, when you can't remember when it started, it's, you just say a long time. And it was, they do this winter retreat every year. And in the past, it's not exactly cheap to go, because you have to travel, and there's the hotel, there's the food, etc. So this year, my study partner put me in a contest, and I did not know that she did this, and I won second place. So I get this telephone call, and I mean, this is out of thousands of partners in this thing, and it was based on biblical Hebrew, really, how far she brought me and how quickly I... And I disagree with this. I publicly want to say, if you're listening, Leah, I totally disagree. I did not go as fast as you say, but you know what? You got me in, so you got me in. And so we got discounted. And so I was like on the phone with her, we can get in real cheap now. So anyway, we went. And she lives up there. And the speakers were just amazing. However, the majority of us were not part of this program. The speakers were, but I guess they weren't filling up too well, so they put an ad in the paper. And one of the really neat things about it was that the whole theme was Jewish unity. And we were walking around, especially for dinner on Shabbos. The tables, you know, we were paired with people that we had never met before. It was strongly discouraged sitting with people that you knew, unless you were either with your partner or your family. But if you weren't, the whole thing was to get to meet other Jews and establish the unity.
Right.
So that was very interesting. We had a Bakarian family with us. We had I guess you would just say regular old Orthodox. I mean, nobody claiming to be a specific this or that. And they were funny. And so we got seated constantly with doctors. And I made the joke on Saturday night that, where's the accountants and where are the lawyers? I mean, we've just orthodontists, podiatrists, this and that and this and that. I mean, can I get one lawyer? Can I get one accountant? Lo and behold, this couple comes sit down. Hi, what do you do? I'm a lawyer. You know, so it was kind of funny. But so, that's the prelude to it. We had a lot of study. We had a lot of classes. We had some... a lot of funny teachers. We had Rabbi Mordechai Becker, who wrote Gateway for Judaism, which was one of my very first books when I started becoming religious. And it was autographed. I bought it used off Amazon, so I had to tell him, thank you for the autographed copy of my book, which I received years ago off Amazon. And he goes, you bought it used. And at that point, I realized I had not made a compliment. I was like, but it was still one of my first books. And anyway, so he's a really funny guy.
Wow.
He's a really nice guy.
But he autographed it for you.
He just didn't know he was autographing it for me.
Shoshana, can I ask him, were there any Jews who were delicatessen owners or any Jews from Buddha Park who came from Foyd Foyd Street?
I have no idea. I know that I was surprised that I did not have mutual friends when we were talking amongst, you know, where are you from, blah, 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 that I did not have any mutual friends in Baltimore, I thought for sure that would happen, and it did not. But I found many mutual friends in Pittsburgh. Go figure.
Wow.
So it really, it's Don, like, there was like 650 people there, and it was crazy. It was Meshuggah. It really was. But it was fun, and they kept us busy the whole time. No one was forced to do anything specifically. And, in fact, after the service was on, after we went, they had a really neat banquet room, how they not with the tables, how they set that up to be able to hold worship and all that kind of stuff, that they did various things for various people because they wanted to do an introductory one as well on the morning of Shabbos for people who were brand new, especially from Partners in Torah, who are coming back to Judaism and really are kind of secular still. So I thought that was great. And since I knew that they were going to do that, Friday night when I went to sleep, before I went to bed, I explained to Hashem why I hadn't been able to pray all day. It was because there was so much going on. And even the prayers and everything were going so fast, and everybody was chiming in. And for me, that's a lot. So I let Hashem know tomorrow morning during the introductory service, which I do not need, I'm staying in my room with my sitter so I can talk to you quietly for a while. So that's how it went. And Rabbi Lau was amazing. I didn't think I would get close to him. I was a lot starstruck. But now this is the whole point of having me here today. His speeches, his talks, his friendship on Jewish unity and what is going on in Yisrael, what is going on in diaspora, etc. And he gave, of course, always, for those people who are listening who don't know his history, and that he used to be, he was the chief Ashkenazi rabbi of Israel, now of Tel Aviv, I believe it is. Am I correct?
Right.
Still Tel Aviv, I think? Okay.
No, go ahead.
I think he's still acting chief rabbi there, isn't he?
Are you talking about
he's Yerushalayim.
The older, I'm not sure. The Rav Lau, he actually married my sister-in-law. 1990. Yeah, I remember him being Masada Kedushin at my sister-in-law's wedding.
Oh, wow. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
He's such a sweet man. He really is.
Jewish world is small.
Yeah, it is. It truly, especially for only 2% of us, you know? And then
right.
of the 2%, how many of us would wind up in Connecticut? Exactly.
Right.
So, but he was known as the Buchenwald orphan, because he was one of the younger survivors of Shoah, of the Holocaust. And in his book, Out of the Depths, which I've been reading and has literally changed my life in many ways, he and his older brother, Naftali, different accents, my rabbi asked me what was my takeaway from his story versus other survivors. I said my takeaway and how much he gave to his credit to his brother and what his brother did was just amazing, and I could see the unity beginning then. And then as he tells his story of his life, being an orphan, going to the land, marrying a member of the Goodman family,
My name is Goodman.
Right, I know. Didn't you say he married your sister-in-law?
No, he was officiating.
Oh, he presided. Oh, that kind of married. Okay. So eventually he would preside over the Goodman family.
Could have gone sideways.
Wait a minute, I'm glad, because we've been stigmatized that only good men come from the Goodman family. We get good women also from the Goodman family.
There we go. It's the Goodwin family. So, but anyway, he went into also deep lengths of what his father-in-law had done for him, because, you know, when you're coming with the marriage proposals and everything, the fact that you're an orphan. And so unity throughout the theme of this book. And he was so strong when he talked. And so now I can bridge the gap between what Don was saying with Jews for Judaism and Rabbi Lau and this whole Jewish Unity Conference, retreat, whatever we want to call it, is that he's so steadfast on Never Forget. And he is so, there's just something emanating from the soul about don't ever back down to evil. Always make sure you're on alert, high alert. Now, these are my words. I'm not verbatim. I don't want to put words into his mouth. I'm going quickly because he spoke a total of like 6 hours. over the weekend. So, you know, so he had that side to him, which is we never forget, and this is what happened, and this is what's happening today, and this is what could happen tomorrow. And then the flip side was how we all have to come together in doing that. So it really is a yin and a yang. When you spend as much time arguing as I do in Jews for Judaism, we're a debate family, and you have to debate these people. So
right.
It's argue all the time, and then the Jews will start to argue amongst themselves, and the 1,000 that I'm in charge of, I have to say, hey, stop, we don't do that. And it gets crazy. And then on the other side, it's like peace, love, harmony, you know, the 60s. And so one of his points that he wanted to drive home, considering the vast differences we had, we had, of course, the Hasidic there, we had the modern Orthodox there, we had Sephardi there, we had Ashkenazi there, we had Bukharian there, we had these massive differences all coming together. So his theme was the Ashkenaz and the Sephardi, that we've just got to work this out, and we have got to get along, and we have to listen to each other to learn. Unfortunately, I do not recall the name of the rabbi, the Sephardic rabbi that he spoke of, and it was not Ovadia Yosef, although he's in his book. But it was another one from the 70s or 80s, and then he talked also about the Rebbe. And this is how he concluded that Sunday before I got pushed into his class, which was an amazing thing. And he said, if the Rebbe were to be, if he were to show up in Crown Heights today, hypothetically speaking, every one of us should go to listen because we would learn something. And if the rabbi, such and such, he had an Italianish last name, definitely a Sephardi last name, were to show up in Crown Heights, all of us would need to go and listen and we would learn something. And so he was really bridging that separation. And I was watching, we were the women on one side, the men on the other, but I was watching attitude's not a good word, how they were responding. I was watching the responses, you know, to see who he was reaching and who he wasn't. And it was amazing. Everyone was nodding. Everyone was in agreement with him. And he got to this point where he said, one thing I'm going to tell you, he said, I'm going to tell you all a secret. Now, remember, there's a bunch of rabbis here, too. But he's talking to all of us as one whole, everybody equal, no one better than the other. That was
right.
He took so much time with me on Saturday night, personal time to talk with me, to sign the book and everything, take pictures.
Wow.
And I'm like getting smaller and smaller, and then he's making me bigger and bigger in terms of you are just as important as I am. So that was amazing. I was high. I was not drinking, and everybody kept going, you are just high. And I said, I've never met a tzaddik like that before. And it's true, I have not. And I don't mean that to demean other rabbis. I'm just stating the truth. So anyway, back to that. He said, one of the questions Eliyahu told us we are going to be asked is, what have you done in your life to make sure that Torah is remembered in Israel?
Wow.
Every night I want you to go to bed and ask yourself, what did you do today to make sure that Torah is remembered in Israel? And then he said, this was Sunday. So we had already had our date, which he did call that, by the way. I'm not making that up. He looked at me and he said, you and I have a date. Because what was happening was every time Benny Friedman would start to play music, Rabbi Lau would have to leave the room because his brother passed away. Three weeks ago, I think.
Oh,
3 weeks prior to the retreat. So that's when he would be outside and talking with people, and I was here and there and everywhere, and then the music stopped. So this is the opposite of, you know, when the music starts. No, it was when the music stopped. That's when you rush to talk to him. So I heard the music stop, or that's when you don't rush to talk to him. And I was disappointed, and I guess it showed because he looked at me. He was 4 feet away from me, and he said, you and I, we have a date. Next time the music starts. And I can't do a Polish accent. I wish I could. So the second Benny Friedman, no offense, Mr. Friedman, the second you took stage, I darted out that door. And there must have been 20 men talking to Rabbi Lau. And he pushed them all away, and he looked at me, and he said, no, I have a date with this young woman. And it is her birthday. And I'm going to tell all you gentlemen, don't ask her how old she is. So my face was getting so red, and I'm just saying that to say that is how he was. So on Sunday when he was saying that question to us, Tara is Tara, no matter where we come from. It is what it is. And among the many questions we will be asked, how will we make it remembered in Israel? And then he said, so ladies and gentlemen, and then he stopped, and this is my Beatlemania moment, okay, because there was a crowd, and he said, I mean Jewish ladies, and I'm in the fifth row, and he's on the stage, and he looks right at me, and he smiles.
Wow.
And then
wow.
he looked over to the other side, and he said, and Jewish gentlemen. And
wow.
later that morning, even before his class or whatever, I almost bumped into him because he had a little entourage with him. And he just stopped, and he looked at me, and he went, hi. I'm thinking, do I
wow.
know you? Like, literally, do I know you? Are we root soul or what? That was how amazing he was about unity.
Wow.
And so I think I have taken a good 10 minutes. How well did I do?
You did
you know,
so
you
well.
You did so well, we'd like to ask you to come back in a couple of weeks, if that's possible.
I'll go even one further step, Shoshana, that you're welcome anytime to join any program that I do. You know, we usually do 2 to 3 programs a week, so you have an open carte blanche invitation to, because I really would like to have more Jewish female voices with your intelligence and your insight and your soulful interpretations and your sense of humor, and anyone who talks about high school. I want to remind everyone that back in the day, or Rabbi Goldstock remembered, back in the 60s, high school was a place where people got high, and Shoshana was evidence where you don't have to bring something into your body in the forms of an illegal
mm-hmm.
substance to get high. You have to percolate your brain in positive thoughts, which obviously you immersed yourself for that weekend over there. And maybe as an ongoing theme, if you can, hopefully next week on this program, you can share more insights from that, what sounds like a real big Kiddush Hashem weekend.
I have one joke for you, though, at the end of this, then.
Go for it.
I guess I could. It's not a joke, like a funny joke, ha-ha, you know, with a punchline. This actually happened. This happened. And we were in a class by Rabbi Mordechai Becker from Australia. And he, all of a sudden, and I never found out who this gentleman was. He was not Chabad, but he was very Hasidic. He was much older, and he was wearing the long robe and everything, and he had the guys with him, and he was very, very much to the side the whole weekend, but friendly enough. I mean, I just never found out who he was, so that's all I want to say. He came in and sat to the right in the front row, and I could tell Rabbi Becker got nervous immediately. Because he's a funny guy. He puts jokes in there all the time. Like, he says he's Hasidic, and then you look at him, and he goes, just reform. You know, so he's like one of those kind of funny guys.
Right.
So I was thinking, I was talking to him before class, and I'm like sitting right there, and he's trying to make this guy laugh. And he reminded me of those guards at Buckingham Palace, you know, where you do everything you can to make them laugh, and they just don't laugh.
Right.
This
yeah,
gentleman,
you'll never,
this
you'll
rabbi.
You'll never succeed, right?
He would not laugh. He was looking straight ahead. And, I mean, at one point it even looked like he was asleep, which he was not. But I'm just saying that is how stern he was. So the rabbi did this thing about this donut and everything and his son. And he said, but you know what we call it in my house when I know he's had a donut but there's no sign of it is the immaculate consumption. And I looked over and I'm like,
true.
Oh, my gosh, did he just say that? And I looked over at that very Hasidic, ultra-Orthodox rabbi. And all of a sudden his face turns red. And you hear the... He's trying so hard not to laugh.
That's sweet.
So I look back to Rabbi Becker, and you could tell he scored. Because then, from then on, he was on a roll, and finally, this guy did chuckle once. I think he actually did chuckle. So it was the immaculate
that's
consumption
sweet.
That got to the ultra-Orthodox, yeah.
Wow, that's cute. That's really a
Shoshana,
sweet story.
Thank you very much for spending utilizing one of your most precious resources, your precious time, and hopefully we can reunite next week at this time, and you can share some more insights about that,
that'd
or
be
maybe
great.
More or you can share insights about Jews for Judaism. And I think also at the conference
mm-hmm.
wasn't the daughter of one of the rabbis who was killed in Harnaf also
oh yes
there?
Yes, Rabbi Levine's daughter was there, and that was very moving. That was
so
I got
you could
to
maybe,
spend some personal time with her as well. So.
Maybe
yeah.
you
yeah.
could
perhaps,
share that with us next
yeah.
week. That would be great.
Yeah,
okay.
That'd be great.
That'd be
great.
Great. We really like that.
Now that we have the intro, right? I think I did okay.
Oh,
so much to talk.
Great.
But
you
thank
make,
you so much
make
for
100,
having me on.
You make 100%. Feel like one. You went way beyond. You did 1,000%. You didn't get 100%. And I would say you got the first prize on our program today, which means we thank you profusely. I wish I could offer more than that, but that's where we have to. Hopefully one day
we'll give you free accommodations at our first Shabbaton.
Oh, great. I just have to fly right across the world.
No. Well, no. We'll give you free transportation as well.
Oh, okay. This is recorded, you know. I'll bring this up again down the road.
Where we're going to do it. You know?
Yeah. Thank you both so much. Always a pleasure, and I enjoy listening
great.
To you every
thank
week
you
when I can.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Great.
Eliezer, I don't know how we're going to follow up with that. I mean, we're going to try to be serious now. I don't know. I mean, I think we would just, like you talked about last week, women are already ahead of us. That's for sure.
Right.
Holding on a level we should one day think about getting to. We're far from where she's holding, boy.
Right. It's amazing, anyway, you know. I mean, that lady's life is going, you know, she's already in fourth, fifth gear, you know, hitting overdrive, you know what I mean? And when you think about it, she did it from a standstill. Amazing lady.
When a Jewish female devoted daughter of Israel gets connected to Hashem's grid, get out of their way, and they're gonna, you know, they're like, you know, they don't put on the brakes. They connect,
right.
And we have to learn how to connect like that. So, Eliezer, wanted to talk about again. We, you know, in one of the struggles in my profession in the social services field, I'm sure you have it as well, and that's what I'd like you to talk about, is, you know, there's not enough, you know, people look at the, you know, the Down syndrome or the Up syndrome people, they look cute, they look like teddy bears, they got a jelly belly, you know, a donut belly, they have the shape of a Big Mac. You know, why are us typicals, you know, not applying the same principles to us? You know, we want to be healthy, we do exercise, we eat right. Why are these people given second-class perceptions? Aren't they entitled? I mean, for instance, you put a video on Facebook of Suri dancing like an angelic queen, and, you know, Mendy driving a tractor. I mean, aren't they entitled to all different types of sensory experiences which will increase their health, which will, of course, will help them access their soul to carry out their divine, everyone has a divine mission on earth, their mission as human beings. Why is it such a struggle to get typicals like ourselves to educate other people that give these guys a break and let's get them healthy just as we want to be healthy?
You know, it's a funny thing, and I can't help, and thank you very much for that, because I'm glad that somebody watches these videos. Mendy especially driving a tractor, I mean, that absolutely, you can hear me in the background. I'm totally, that's an Arab fellow that was working here in the neighborhood that was responsible for that tractor. And he said, come on, you know, and he put Mendy in the tractor, and he said, come on, you know, and it was better than going to Disneyland. You know what I mean? It's like,
wow.
You can go to a place like Disneyland and spend money and spend time and energy. And you would never have an experience like driving a tractor. You know what I'm saying? There's no tracks or anything. He almost ran into the wall. You know, I thought he was going to take down the building, but, you know, he did it, you know? So one of the things that we don't like to talk about too much in the Hasidic world, especially, is the concept of pleasure. You know, we talk about nachas, and we talk about all the different things that each one of us can achieve and attain and strive for. But we don't talk about pleasure too much, because it's like one of those things that we're really not seeking pleasure. You know, we're not pleasure seekers. But what is pleasure? I was trying to think, what are one of the things that we really do attain pleasure from? Because when you look at a child who's born with a special needs, you don't say that that's, you know, you say, and I know I'm backing up a little bit, but, you know, when a child is born, it's supposed to be a pleasurable experience. You know, you have pleasure, you have nachas, you have simcha, you have joy.
Right.
Aside from that, but then what happens is you hear this news and, you know, it's not so pleasurable anymore. So where do we get pleasure where no one can take that away from us? In other words, I'm trying to think of a way to answer your question, because, you know, you dropped it on me a couple minutes before the program. And I was thinking to myself, well, how would I possibly answer this question? I'm thinking, okay, try it this way. Shabbos. Shabbos comes, and you see the food that's in the room, right? And how can you see the food in the room? Because there's light. We need light to see the food, right? You can't enjoy. You don't get a mouth-watering desire for the food if you can't see it, right? So how do you see it? We light the Shabbos candles, and when we light the Shabbos candles, the Kabbalists explain that, you know, Shabbos is a day of illumination, right? So
right.
The world, when you and I are talking about our world, is a dark and negative place, right? But when we light the candles, as we've learned before in our various programs, is a metaphor for Torah. And it's also a metaphor for the neshama. Now,
mm-hmm.
candles represent, what do they represent? They represent the light that we bring into the world through our studying of Torah and our observance of the Torah way of the precepts of Torah, right? So we have an additional neshama which comes to us and is an endowment, if you will, for participating in and is inherent in being part of Shabbos, right?
Mm-hmm.
So each one of these levels of our neshama has a twin, so to speak, on Shabbos. Now,
mm-hmm.
we've discussed before, and I'll just reiterate so that everyone understands that the Jewish neshama has a nefesh, nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, and yechida. That's
mm-hmm.
the five levels of a Jewish soul. Now, each one of these comes with a portion of our, it's a singular neshama. It's a singular thing, our neshama, but it has five chalukim, five parts, five portions, if you will. And
mm-hmm.
it's your specific neshama. And it's your life force, if you will. So if we have a person who's born with a disability, any disability, that person has those five parts to their neshama. Their life force comes from that, the light of their neshama. And each of these levels represents the light that originates from the Ein Sof, because we say Nefesh Elokim Mal Mamash, the soul of a Jew comes specifically from God Himself. It's a Chelak Elokim Mal Mamash, an action, a piece, a source, a portion of Hashem in actuality. That's the soul. So when you have your soul, your infinite light is emanating from you. Now, when that infinite light, that essence, if you will, of your being is extinguished in this world, you merely leave this world and continue on in another realm. But
mm-hmm.
we know that infinite can't be extinguished.
That's right.
You know, on a level of yechida, the light is a very sublime light,
That's
the
right.
highest level, yechida. It's a very sublime light. So it is unified on a completely different level than, say, the chaya, which is the life force, the energy force. And the neshama, which derives from the word neshima, which means breath, you know, the breathe, the neshama, because
right.
this level of the neshama is like a... like breathing, like, you know, the breath of Hashem, so to speak, like Hashem breathes in. Then you have ruach, which is the soul light as it leaves the neshama, the neshima, and we take a breath that's blown into the mouth of the person, and this soul light comes to rest on the level that's called nefesh. I'm just giving a quick overview because, you know, I'm trying to say something here. And as soon as I figure out what it is, I'm going to let you know. No. Which is, okay, so it's in the human blood, the nefesh, right? So we have the blood, we have the air, we have the light, right? We have the interface between the spiritual and the physical. This is what I'm talking about. So
right.
when a person does a good deed, does a mitzvah, it unifies all the levels of his soul. Now, it's happening on a level where the soul is unifying with all other souls. But the soul itself gains a unification, a unity, if you will, of itself, but because it is just because these names denote some form of a separation, right? We can't say that the neshama and the body, even though the neshama illuminates the body, it's the flesh of man belongs to man. Okay? The flesh is only the body. It's like an exterior garment, if you will. Like, you know, you have a plate of armor and you're wearing it on the outside. The inside is the part that you're protecting. So the real point is that the body and the physicality of the human being is the least worthy portion of the body. We don't even anoint it. It's not anointable. Because without the neshama in it, you couldn't anoint a body. It would just be a goof, you know? I mean, it was a play on words. Anybody listening, a goof is a body in Hebrew, but in English it sounds like something completely different, you know? So, you know, it's like the guy who drives the car is the chauffeur, but the sound that we make with the horn is also a chauffeur. You know, it's like plays on words. Okay. So since man connects all four worlds, what are the four worlds? There's Atzilus, there's Berea, there's Yetzira, and there's Asiya. I don't want to get into all of the things, but there's the emanation, there's a level of emanation, there's a level of creation, Yetzira, formation, and action, the world of action, right? So it's a very important concept that apply here, because you're asking me a question about why we don't see this person before us. Why don't we get it? And the only thing I can say is that even though a person's physical body is minuscule compared to the physical world, right? His spiritual neshama, his soul, spans all five spiritual worlds that we're talking about here. Can you imagine all five spiritual worlds that emanate from the Ein Sof, from nothingness and everythingness, from infinity? It comes. That's the source of a person's soul. So here is this automatic correlation between the levels of the soul and the levels of the world, right? Man's actions, besides having a direct impact on his neshama, on his soul, have a direct impact on the corresponding spiritual worlds. So when a person does a good deed, for example, righteous deeds, it unifies the levels of the soul and all four worlds, as well as the opposite is true if a person, by the way, chas v'shalom, does something they're not supposed to do. But a person who is born with a disability or has some form of doesn't have the capacity to form enough of a thought process to be able to do the kind of action or reaction that it requires to do something wrong, what we call a sin or an avera. Mm-hmm. So by necessity, this has to happen in all of the worlds. Now, I'm just going to touch on this real quickly here, because this is a point that I think brings the whole thing together. You know, it's like it never fails. I always get the question, well, if that's the case, you know, and everybody's connected to the spiritual world and the essence world and the infinite, but is also attached to the physicality of this world. So where is the connection between this and this, and how do we understand the subtlety of that? You're looking at a person with a disability before you. How does that? So I always thought, you know, my background is in hypnosis and in subliminal thought and subconscious, and so I like to look at dreams. You know, if everybody has it, you know, people dream. If you have a dream at night, I can tell you, if you dream and you dream in color, you know, you're doing good things. You're doing the right things. Because according to the Kabbalah, and I'm only doing, because I'll tell you quickly what the Rebbe once said too, but the according to the Kabbalah, Shimon Bar Yochai, all the Shalom, who was a great, who wrote the Shari Kedusha, he says in there that that you can analyze your behavior through a dream,
mm-hmm.
because according to what you do during the day, that's what you dream. This is what the Rebbe said too.
Mm-hmm.
So as Eliyahu said to Yov, in a dream, a nocturnal vision of the night, when a deep sleep falls over people, during slumbers upon the bed, he uncovers people's ears and seals their affliction. Now, if that's the case, it also, to the extent that a person is righteous, that's how we determine the truth of their dreams. So
mm-hmm.
to the extent that a person is righteous, so is the truth of their dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that if a person sometimes sees a vision of heavenly worlds in his dreams, and he looks with the deceased and recognizes them, these will reveal to the dreamer the teachings from Gan Eden,
mm-hmm.
and the teachings from Gehenna, meaning the Garden of Eden and what we call in English hell, Gehenna. But
mm-hmm.
as it is often happened in our times, I don't want to go into length too far on this, but Yonah said in the name of Rav Zera, one who does not have a dream for 7 consecutive days is a transgressor, as the verse says. And he who has it, who has one, will rest satisfied. Okay? Saveya in Hebrew is it. He will not be visited for evil.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the point. Rashi explains that a person who transgresses and does not receive the guidance of the divine providence of Hashgacha Pratis through a dream, it seems to him, he says, he will not come. It will not come to him because his soul does not ascend on high while he sleeps. You understand? When we go to sleep, our neshama goes up to heaven, right? To Shemayim. When we wake up in the morning, we say, Maida Ani, thank you, Hashem, for returning our neshama. Where was your neshama? Where was your soul at night? All right? So the person is like a spirit of the beast, if you will. The soul of the person is like the spirit of a beast that descends to the depths of the earth. So what is decreed for man in the heavenly worlds is revealed through his dreams. Okay? So, and now, why am I bringing all this up? Because the connection between the soul and the body is through the dreams. There's a certain connection there that I'm imposing, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
This is my own
superimposing.
I'm saying this because what?
Superimposing.
Or supraimposing. But the point I'm making is that this kesher between all the levels of the soul when we do a mitzvah is one level. The level of all the worlds uniting is another level. There's another action that takes place as the result of performing mitzvahs. And finally, when you do all of these mitzvahs, you are zeiche, you are merited to have dreams. And that when those dreams come to you, so the people that I work with who have special needs, they all dream. They're dreamers. And I want to say to you that if you haven't had a dream for 7 days that you remember, that's vivid, that's in color, then you have to keep in mind that somebody's going to the hospital, you hear them? So the point is that through these dreams, we learn to endure disasters because they're announced to the world. through dreams. 30 days before they happen, someone is dreaming about them. It's not you and I, because it requires someone who's on a much higher level. And oftentimes it is communicated through the mouths of children. And sometimes it's given to the children whose very mouths cannot make that proclamation. And the world, no one is aware of this, or no one understands it, because one nation against another nation, how would a child understand all that, right? How would a child understand that? And the leaders of every generation that get these warnings and these decrees come about to, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He makes the people, and he gives us the information. Are we sensitive enough to listen to the people that have the information? Or are we so busy with our lives in this dark world that we forget that we're lighting a light, we're lighting a candle? And that we, whether we are or we are not deserving to have this light in our lives, all depends on whether or not we're willing to sit and look and listen to the children that have these handicaps and handicapabilities and disabilities and differently abled. When I say differently abled, I'm not saying it as an excuse to say you're not disabled. When I say differently abled, I mean on the level of a spirit and a neshama that sees and feels and hears and is able to receive information from the infinite one, from the Ein Sof. And that's what I'm talking about when I say differently abled, and that we are able to cherish the people that are in our lives, knowing that they have something to offer. We think that the only thing that people have to offer is to help us achieve more financial gain or greater social status or superiority in other categories. And that's not what it's about. It's about stopping and looking and listening to the people around you. And when I say to you that these people have much to offer, I hope I've answered your question, even if just in a little bit.
Well, it's like I was thinking. My response earlier is it's like a new sugya. We're trying to open up a new sugya of dialogue, and of course, when you look at the first page of any Gemara, which is ironically always starting off on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, the first page, first side of the folio,
right,
to remind us that there's always the source of all sugyas is Hashem, who wants us to get into this type of dialogue. And, of course,
right,
you know, I kind of sprung this concept on you 20 minutes before the show. I didn't give you ample time to prepare an answer that perhaps you would have normally given if I gave you, like, an hour's worth of preparation time. So perhaps from this time to next week, you might have a little homework assignment given to you by RDEG, Ravenous Don Eats Grapefruits, to maybe, if you want to embellish it, or we'll talk about something else next week. In the meantime, Eliezer, how can people participate in the Great Spoos? The part to collaborate with you and Chana Tova, your wife, to empower human beings in Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, the Holy Land, and let that movement move around the world. How can they assist you, assist others?
Well, like I said, next week we'll have Siggy Berger is going to be here. She's our regional director, and she's coming to Eretz Yisrael and making a wedding. And I want to wish her a Mazel Tov again. And B'Shah Tova Matzlachas to them and
Amen.
To the entire family. Rabbi Berger, her husband. And so when she's here, I'm hopefully going to be able to show her what we're doing. But, you know, it's one of these things where we work with so many different people on so many different levels. And each one of them is a special neshama that has a special significance. And the action that we take and the reaction that happens is causing unity literally all over the world. And I'm starting to see it. And I want to tell you, if I only believed it intellectually, I'm starting to not only believe it, but I'm feeling it, seeing it, and I need it. And we need your partnership in this here in Eretz Yisrael. We need to make this thing happen. There are so many children around the world that we're getting that are literally ready to come now and participate in this project. We have young adults that are coming here that are giving us a hand. We have adults and young adults and older adults that are helping us here in Israel. This is not a tourist activity. This is the real thing. And I want to tell you that I can't say enough. We need your help. If you want to help us out, go to www.hearttoheartamerican.org. Go to the donation page, make a donation if you can, if you will. We really could use your help. I also want to say, if you want to mail a check in, fine, send it to we don't use the P.O. box anymore. Go to Heart, 383 Kingston Avenue, Suite 232, Brooklyn, New York, 11213. If you want to send something to Eretz Yisrael, a cash check or money order, we receive all denominations, all types of, not only denominations, but all currencies. That would be to Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Just make it Ben, B-E-N-Z-A-K-A-I, Zakkai. That would be 18 over 1, you know, 18 and then a slash 1. And that is to Jerusalem, 93186, Jerusalem, Israel, 93186. Or you can call me, and I'd be happy to talk with you on the phone and take your credit card over the phone if you want to do it that way. I'd be happy to do that. You can reach me here in Jerusalem at 086-99972, if you're listening in the Jerusalem area. If you're in America, you can call 718-778-0111. Or if you want to reach Don, you can call,
347-613-4615. The middle three numbers you can't forget, both of those, because the number of the mitzvahs in the Torah, that's 347-613-4615. Eliezer, thank you very much.
Right.
I'd like to, again, for taking some of your most precious assets in your blessed life, your time, which is, you know, there's no, you can't put a dollar figure on time, but you certainly can use your time wisely, blessed souls. And one of the ways you can use it wisely is, in fact, to give and participate in the great collaboration with Rabbi Goldstein, which, by the way, giving tzedakah is a one of the ways to be machshir, prepare oneself for a higher spirit elicitation upon yourself, whether you be of the blessed children of Israel or the blessed children of Noah. Last week we had a little technical glitch. We couldn't bring on the diaspora band, Shiva band, with a little help from Hashem. I think we have it right this week, but Rabbi Goldsberg for the next 30 seconds are going to sing, "We want Mashiach now, we want
Mashiach now, we don't want to wait.
Am Yisrael, have no fear, Mashiach
will be soon this year.
Am Yisrael, have no fear,
Mashiach will be here this year. We want."
And by the way, Rabbi Goldstein will not be doing a duet. We are not the 21st century version of Simon and Garfinkel. Take care, everyone. This is Diaspora Shiva Ben with a little help from Hashem.
In the meantime, I want to tell you that I'm dreaming about next week. I know I'm dreaming good thoughts. Everybody should be dreaming good thoughts about Don, who's doing yeoman's work in all of his broadcasts. I want to give you Magrosi Yashikaya for all the wonderful things he does and all the great Torah he brings to all of the people around. And I want to say one thing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch HaTah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Barein HaVashes, Rabbi Sechasonan Al Komash, Abarasa, Lachayos Bahem, Nefesh Kol Chai, Baruch Hei HaOlamim. Have a great week, a spiritual week, a listica week, and Mirz Hashem, we should all be together next week in peace and brotherhood and love.
Amen. Amen. And Rabbi Goldstein concluded with an after blessing, which he acknowledged that the Creator is the Creator of all things which have their lackings, but He is the source of all of us, who is the life of all the worlds. I am not going to make my after blessing blessings, because I'm going to continue to munch and crunch a little bit after the show, because I didn't have a big enough breakfast. But here now you can feast on the Diaspora Yeshiva Band with a little help from Hashem. Enjoy. Take care, everyone.
Okay. Thank you very much.